R.N. Blythe had some suggestions as well. She was well aware the members of Torpedo, Inc. would never go to a therapist, but they would trust whatever Blythe said, and she had access to all kinds of therapists. If she didn't know them, she knew people who did. Blythe was fighting for all of them. Anya knew Czar's wife had to feel like she was battling uphill and alone some of the time, and she was determined to join her. She toweled off the droplets of water, and then tamed her hair, drying it, which she rarely did, and then braiding it before pulling on her favorite shirt, Reaper's flannel. She left it unbuttoned and didn't bother with panties. Her massage was supposed to be intimate, sensual. She wanted that for him. Anya had been angry at Ice and Storm, but she realized they were victims of trauma just as Reaper was. They hadn't had the education or the experiences of most people, so they solved their problems within the limited experience they did have. She would always have to remember that and make allowances for them. She had to be more like Blythe and try to gently guide them in the right directions. They were men, intelligent men, traumatized men. They were also very good at what they did, and what they did was kill enemies. They fought, had sex, fought more, took jobs that risked their lives, but they remained a closed society. She could be a part of that, and one they listened to, or she would have to leave. She wanted Reaper. She found she also wanted the rest of them. She lit candles, lots of them, groups of citrus-smelling candles, a few vanilla, mostly soft essentials, because when she'd asked, Leslie'd said most men didn't like florals but were good with citrus. She wanted Reaper as comfortable as possible. The room was ready for him when he came down the stairs. As usual, he was deliciously naked. Sometimes she thought he was more comfortable out of clothes than in them. He always walked with confidence, gliding, so fluid. She couldn't help but watch him as he came right into the room, looking around, and then his gaze flicked to her. "Why are you wearing clothes?" Of course he would ask about the clothes and not about the candles or the way she'd set up the bed. She waved toward the blankets, taking a step back as he was coming at her aggressively, with purpose. "I'm going to give you a massage." He stopped in his tracks, ran a hand through his hair. "Baby."
"Yes."
She pointed to the blankets, trying to look confident when inside she was shaking. "The point isn't sex. We're not having sex. This isn't about that. You know my body, Reaper, but you don't know my hands. I'm going to start giving you massages. If they don't work, we'll stop. But in the meantime, you might actually like them." "Baby, you said that already." She tilted her head and deliberately challenged him. "You said you were willing to do anything, to try anything. Try this. I could hurt you. You're naked, honey. No weapons." He stepped closer, right into her space, forcing her to tilt her head just that little bit, which intimidated her. "Anya, I am a weapon." "Then lie face down, your hands under your head. If you start to get squirrely, you just have to say something." He stared down into her face for a long time, long enough to give butterflies a chance to take off, wings brushing like mad against her stomach. One hand came up to cup the side of her face. His thumb slid over her lips. "You're something else, Anya. I don't know what I ever did that allowed you to walk into my life." He took a breath and abruptly did as she asked, lay face down in the middle of the blankets, his head resting on his arms. His face was turned to the side so he could watch her. She straddled his back and lowered herself slowly, giving him time to get used to the idea of her weight on him. The oil was special, something Blythe had gotten from a woman named Hannah Drake Harrington. She was the wife of the local sheriff. But she made all kinds of special soaps, oils, and bath salts, along with natural healing lotions. This oil was not only good for the skin, but edible. Sometimes, according to Blythe, that was necessary in a good massage with one's man. "I haven't had time to learn a lot of techniques," she admitted, feeling a little nervous as she poured the oil into her hands. The bottle had been sitting in hot water to warm it. But I think you'll like this. And it will get you so you know how my hands feel on your skin. If you know my touch, hopefully, as years go by, even in your sleep you'll recognize the difference between my hands and someone else's. Is that what you think? She put her hands very gently on his neck and began to rub, fingers digging into the tight muscles she found there. It's what I hope. It may never happen, but think of all the great massages you'll get night after night. His body had been tense, but as her hands and fingers worked the muscles of his neck, she felt him begin to relax. Gotta admit, baby, that feels fucking great. Anya couldn't help but smile. It was a relief that he hadn't thrown her halfway across the room. Hearing what he'd told her about his life had been hard, and it had taken a lot of courage to continue with the plan she had devised over the last 2 weeks. "You've got great hands, Anya," he murmured, a few minutes later when she was working the muscles of his back. "I'm glad you like it, Reaper. Just close your eyes, honey. Listen to the music and drift. I want you to always associate my hands with something good, something positive. Something beautiful," he added. "You're so fucking beautiful, Anya." His voice turned her heart over. She knew he wasn't talking about her looks. He liked the way she looked, but it was really about so much more. She'd never had the kind of compliments Reaper gave her. She worked her way slowly down his back, exploring the muscles in between his ribs, trying to do what the massage therapist in the video had done. She was getting nervous again as she approached his buttocks. She was sliding over him, sitting on the backs of his thighs, her heart pounding. "You feeling good, Reaper?" There was the tiniest of hesitations. Her heart sank. "We can stop if you need me to," she whispered. "Seriously, I'm so proud of you and pleased that you let me get this far. I loved it, and I feel like I've mapped out your back. I loved having the chance to explore." She'd taken her time, worshipping every muscle, recording every scar in her mind. She'd kissed those scars, licked over them, tracing them with her tongue as well as her fingers. She'd claimed them, claimed his back. She was patient. She could wait to claim the rest of him. "I'm feeling very good, Anya. My dick is so fucking hard it hurts. You put your hands on my ass and start working it the way you did my back, my cock for sure is going to be cutting a hole in the floor." She couldn't help but smile. "I'm going to put my hands on you now, and I want you to feel me. No, it's me, Reaper. No, I'm just making you feel good." She massaged the small of his back, tracing the roots of the tree that was tattooed on his back. The piles of skulls rolling among the roots. So many. Some of the roots had grown through the skulls. "Tell me about this tattoo." She wanted him a little distracted. She kept kneading his muscles, her hands moving lower, beginning a deep tissue massage as best she could on his buttocks. He was tight, very tight. Sculpted, as if an artist had designed him with loving care. "That trunk is Czar, holding us together. 17 branches, the 17 survivors. Crows represent the ones that didn't make it. Our loved ones are there, the ones we couldn't save. So many we couldn't tat that many birds on us. Skulls are the fuckers we killed to survive, or to avenge the fallen. The others are the ones we had to take for our country or to save someone. Ink's going to have to tat a few more on there for me." His voice was gruff as he explained. She looked at that tattoo with new eyes. It was the same as the patch he wore on his jacket. "Why torpedo ink?" She was really massaging him now, fingers digging deep, her hands all over his butt. He wasn't fighting her. He wasn't tense. He hadn't once tried to jerk away. So many scars. His buttocks, the back of his thighs. She couldn't resist kissing them. "We were kids when we called ourselves that. The name grew up with us, as did the tree. Ink tatted us, and he's damn good. Torpedo is used for hitmen. We were all raised to be just that. You send us after someone, and we lock on like a torpedo and stay locked on until the job is done. We thought we were clever to use INK instead of INC. You have to remember, we were in our teens when we thought that shit up. He groaned as her hands moved to his lower thighs, just under his buttocks. You're fucking killing me, baby. Seriously. I'm going to come all over the blankets. Gotta turn over. She slid off him immediately. She loved the sexy, gravelly note in his voice, the one that told her he was about to take command of the situation. But she didn't want him taking over. Not yet. She had one more thing to try. With another groan, Reaper turned over. His cock was thick and hard, raised along his stomach, and there were drops of pearly white all along the velvety head. She forced her gaze from that delicious treat and began working on his legs, fingers digging into tight muscles. She could feel his eyes on her. Both his hands went to his cock, fisting there. "You like this?" she said softly, keeping her attention on what she was doing. "Yeah, baby, you could say I like this. You like my hands on you?" "I have to admit I do." She moved up his leg to his thigh. "That's good, Reaper. I'm hoping if I can do this most nights before you go to sleep, you'll eventually get so used to me touching you that even if you never let another adult put their hands on you, you'll crave mine." She glanced up at him from under her lashes, a small smile on her face, because that idea really was her goal. "I see you're really enjoying this. Come up here. I'm going to have you sit on me." Her heart stuttered. She wanted that, but she wanted something else more. "I have another idea, Reaper. I'd like you to let me try." "Tell me." His voice was low, sexy, full of sin. He wanted her, and he was going to have her. She knew that because she wanted him just as much, if not more. How could she touch him? All those scars down his back, the burns and whip marks on his buttocks, down the backs of his thighs, the burns on his inner thighs. He'd been beaten front and back. How could she touch all that, and not want every inch of him? He was hers. She didn't necessarily want him able to stand any other person's touch, or their lips, or their mouth. She scooted up his legs, straddling him, settling over his thighs. She poured more oil into her palms. "I'm going to put my hands on your shaft. Make a tight fist, and you're going to put your hands around mine, so you're controlling everything. But I get to touch you, and you'll feel my hands on you for the first time. If you hate it, you just take my hands away. If you like it, you control the action. If you want my mouth on you, you control that too. I'm going to turn all control over to you." He studied her face for a long time. Too long. Her heart began to pound. He was so beautiful lying there, his hands fisting his cock, his body laid out beneath her, so perfect, so scarred, his mind so damaged. She'd thought him broken, but he wasn't. He hadn't let them do that to him. Damaged, yes. Broken, no. "All right, baby. If you have that kind of courage, the kind that will face a monster, I have to have it too. You fucking terrify me, woman." Anya smiled at him, trying to convey confidence. Her heart hammered at her, so loud she was afraid he could hear. But she didn't hesitate. She held out her hands. He curled his around hers. "Look at me, baby. Keep looking at me. I need that." She couldn't have looked away. His blue gaze was locked on her, just like the torpedo he described. His hands took hers and brought them to his cock. She curled her fingers around his shaft, velvet over steel. He felt beautiful, hot, hard. His body shuddered under her, but his gaze didn't waver, and his hands tightened around hers, forcing her fist to tighten around his shaft. He pumped, slowly at first, the warm oil making it easy to slide up and down. She wanted to memorize every part of him, that part of him. "Anya," he breathed her name, "you're a fucking miracle." "I was thinking the same of you," she admitted. He threw his head back, exposing his throat, but his eyes stayed on hers. "Now, baby, look at us." Very slowly, almost reluctantly, his gaze slid away from hers, dropping lower. She did the same. Her breath caught in her throat. Her hands surrounded his cock, fisted him. His hands guided hers. Each pull, the slide of that smooth, hot velvet, had her sex clenching, her inner muscles spasming, kneading. "You're touching me, and I want it, Anya. I want to feel your hands on me like this. I didn't know it would feel like this. So good. Thank you for taking the chance with me," she whispered. "If I never get the chance again, I'll always remember this." She would, straddling him, sitting on his thighs, face to face, her shirt open, breasts heaving with every panting breath, her hands tight around his cock, feeling that thick, hard length sliding through the oil in her palms. She loved that his hands surrounded hers, holding her fists tightly around him. That felt intimate, more intimate than if she'd been giving him a handjob on her own. One of his hands came up to her hair, fisted at the back, tightly, his fingers next to her skull. There was a small bite of pain she barely noticed, because her eyes were on the beauty of that broad head sliding through her fists. It was gorgeous. Temptation. Reaper began to put pressure on her, bending her down toward his cock. Her heart pounded as she understood what he was doing. She relaxed completely, giving herself to him, letting him have complete control, just as she'd promised. "Tell me what you want," she whispered. "Nothing. Not yet. Just your breath." She kept her fists tight, working him, increasing the speed because he was increasing it, holding him tighter because his hand was nearly crushing hers. He brought her mouth within a breath of his cock, and she inhaled, taking the musky scent of him deep, exhaling need and hunger out of her lungs, over that broad, velvety head with the tempting droplets. More leaked as she watched. "Touch me with your tongue. Just touch, Anya. Don't try anything else." She wasn't about to try anything else. It was terrifying. Yet she found it sexy as hell to have him forcing her head over his cock, his hands forcing her fist to work him fast. If anything, his cock was harder and thicker than it had been before. He kept her head just out of reach, so all she could do was flick her tongue gently across that surface, swiping up a couple of the drops spilling out. His body shuddered, and he jerked her head back. The flash of pain through her scalp was nothing like the piercing pain shooting through her heart. He didn't yank her up, so much as just lift her head an inch from him. He breathed deeply. Holy fucking hell, woman. That was like a lash of fire. Her heart settled back to a hard pounding. She kept forcing air through her lungs. "You taste good?" "Yeah." "Want more?" "Yes," she whispered. "If you can give it to me." "Don't fucking run off again, Anya." "Don't let another woman touch what's mine," she said, refusing to take the blame for the mess he'd created by not talking to her. "I didn't allow her to touch me." That was true. He'd never consented. "I'm going to punch her right in the face," she said. "But right now, I'm feeling like I need another taste." "Yeah?" "Not hearing you say it, baby." Was he teasing her? Her hands around his cock, her mouth inches away? Was that happiness in his voice? Teasing? "What do you want me to do?" "Ask nice. I'm giving you something special, baby, something no one else is ever going to get." That was true. At least she hoped it was. She hoped it was only her hands he could take, her mouth. "I would very much like another taste, Reaper. Please." She used her best manners, trying not to laugh when she was so happy. This could go wrong at any time. She wasn't stupid. She knew it could, but right now, she had this with him, and she'd always cherish this moment. She also knew this might be her only time like this with him, and it would have to be enough for both of them. but she was going to enjoy every minute and hope there would be more. His hand bunched her hair tighter, and he put pressure on her head, pushing her down over him. "Just your tongue." She was closer this time, and she lapped at him, took those drops, now leaking over and over into her mouth. "Your taste is addicting." Her mouth was so close that when she spoke, her lips whispered over the broad head. Again his body shuddered with pleasure. He didn't lift her head away from him. He pushed her down a little closer. "Open your mouth, Anya." Heart racing, she did as he said. Instinctively, she knew not to close it. His cock pushed against her tongue. She let it slide there, over and over, before she tentatively curled her tongue around him, danced it over him, and then slid it up that long, prominent vein. He pulled her head back, just an inch, that pain biting into her scalp. She was so elated she didn't care. Reaper was breathing fast, his hips moving now, a subtle push, building a rhythm. "Suck this time, hard. I want to feel it. And tighten your fist." She did what he'd commanded with her hand, but waited for him to push her head down on him. The moment he did, she closed her mouth over him, letting her own fist push him deep, while she hollowed her cheeks and suckled hard. His breath exploded out of him. He swore, pushing her head down more, pulling her hands off him, so his hand took their place at the base, guiding his cock into her mouth. "Cup my balls, Anya. Gently. Be gentle." She knew he gave her those instructions because others hadn't been gentle. She was. Mostly she concentrated on the way he felt in her mouth. She wanted to be good for him. The best. She wanted him, at the end, to want more with her. She hoped that he would grow to know her hands and mouth, and that he would crave them on him. His hands gripped her hair harder, and he yanked her off him. She let him, reassuring him that he had complete control just by her compliance. He didn't push her away, but just breathed deeply, his hand working his cock. "Roll them, baby. I want your mouth there." He pushed her head down so she was level with his heavy sack. She used her tongue to lap, her mouth to suckle, and her hands to gently roll his heavy balls around. Then he was dragging her head up again, and forcing her mouth over his cock. "Fuck me with your mouth," she did, keeping the suction strong, using her tongue, letting him guide her head up and down. Then he took over completely, and she had to use every ounce of courage and trust she had. He held her head down, forcing her to take him deep, forcing her to breathe through her nose as she suckled him. The breath hissed out of his lungs. His hips bucked into her. She felt him hit her throat, and she fought for air. He pulled her off of him immediately, his hands going to her waist. "Guide me into you. I need to be in you, baby, face to face, just like this." Elated, she sank down over him, letting him fill her. The feel of him was insane, so tight, like he was never going to fit. Her body would never give in to his invasion, and then he was there, part of her, exquisite, perfect. "Scorching hot, Anya. You're always like a fucking furnace, surrounding me with your fire." He began to move, surging into her, pulling her down over him. Anya caught his rhythm and helped, riding him hard, feeling the burn running up her spine. She pushed off the shirt and then brushed her hand down his chest, watching those sensual lines in his face, carved so deep with lust. The blue of his eyes darkened with desire for her. She rode him for as long as she could, while the flames licked at her thighs, danced down her breasts into her belly, and that coil deep inside wound tighter and tighter. "Honey, I have to let go." "No." He was firm. "Not yet. Don't want to come yet, and you'll take me with you." She bit her lip and pushed down into each stroke, arched her back, but that only added to the friction. His fingers were on her nipples, pulling and tugging until the breath hissed out of her and her entire body felt as if it might implode if she didn't let go. "I have to let go. I need to." "No, not yet. A little more time, Anya. It was a plea, but it was also a command. Fight it for me, baby. I promise it will be worth it. Her breath hitched. She tried to pull back, but he didn't. He kept slamming deep, sending those streaks of fire rushing through her. It felt like whips of lightning crept in. Then his fingers left her breasts and slid down her belly to the junction between her legs. Paradise right here, baby. Love your mouth. Love your sweet pussy. Love that you're all mine. His fingers slid between them and circled her clit. She gasped and caught at his wrist. I won't be able to hold back. I want to see your hands on your tits, Anya. I love how you look right now. So needy, desperate. You want what I can give you, don't you?
Yes.
She nearly sobbed it, riding him hard, trying not to think about his finger flicking at her clit, torturing her with sheer pleasure. So fucking beautiful, baby. I could look at you all day like this. Now, baby, give it to me now. He flicked her clit hard, and she screamed. A sob escaped as her body fragmented, burst into a million rocketing pieces. Colors gathered behind her eyes, sparkling and shifting, her body dragging at his, gripping, the muscles clamping down and milking hard. His fingers bit deep into her hips, her wild orgasm forcing the seed from him. Each hot splash set off a chain of reactions, shock waves going through her, rippling through every cell so that her body kept clamping down again and again on his. She finally slumped forward, burying her face in his shoulder, fighting for air. He held her tightly, so tightly she feared she'd never breathe again, and that he was going to break every rib she had, but she didn't move. She remained still, pressed against him, his body buried deep in hers.
I got to put my hands on you, Reaper. It was so wonderful, so perfect.
She felt tears burning in her eyes, and she wiped them on his bare shoulder.
Thank you so much for trying with me.
You know I loved every second of that, and I got your mouth. You gave that to me, Anya. You let me be in complete control, and I liked it. There wasn't a moment of hesitation when you handed control over to me. Not only are you the most beautiful woman there is, but you're the smartest and the bravest. She laughed, because the relief was so tremendous. She knew they would have problems. Always. It wasn't going to end, but they'd found a way for at least this time. She hoped it was the start of many times.
Loved giving you a massage, Reaper. I'd like to continue that practice often. When we do, I'm hoping you'll get used to the feel of my hands.
Any time you want my hands or mouth on you, you take complete control. He stroked her hair. You good with that, Anya? Giving me control like that? I could have shoved my cock down your throat. Felt that fucking good.
I'm sure it did. But you also know I'm not ready for that. You can give me instructions. I kind of get off on that. I trust you to take care of me.
You can, Anya. I'll always take care of you. You're worn out, baby. Why don't you go upstairs and get some sleep?
I'm not going upstairs. I'm sleeping with you,
she said stubbornly. Anya, his voice was pure warning. That's not happening. I hit you.
You didn't hit me. You knocked me off of you.
She tried to make a joke of it.
My hair assaulted you.
Not happening, he repeated. You're going to hold me until I fall asleep, and then you're going to put a barrier between us so I can't roll over and take advantage of your body in my sleep. He leaned down and bit her shoulder, hard. She yelped, pulled back and glared at him.
That was mean.
I'm mean. You knew that when you took me on. You're getting bossy, woman. Just saying. The teasing note left his voice. Not taking a chance with your life. I couldn't live with myself if that happened.
It isn't going to happen. We might never make it upstairs, to an actual bedroom, Reaper, and I'm fine with that. We might never get to the point where I can touch you on my own, or put my mouth on you on my own, and I'm really okay with that, because it's hot as hell the way we did it tonight. But I'm not okay with not sleeping with you. I know you won't fall asleep before me, so you can have the task of rolling blankets or getting pillows and putting as wide a barrier as you think you need between us. His gaze moved over her face. Moody, hooded eyes, sexy. She held her breath. He didn't move. "I need this Reaper," she whispered, telling him the truth. "I ought to lock you up at night. You're that dangerous. Have me turning into a fucking pussy. Don't talk to me like this in front of my brothers." Elation swept through her. She smiled, big. She couldn't help it. She wrapped her arms around his neck and kissed him. "Thank you, honey." He kissed her back, over and over. Then he rolled her over and took her body hard and fast a second time. She didn't mind at all that she was on her elbows and knees. Fire was fire, and she'd had him face to face. He could exert dominance any way he wanted. He'd given her everything she'd asked for and more tonight. And he gave her a hell of another orgasm. Blankets spread on the great room floor. Reaper held Anya until she fell asleep exactly as she'd asked. He couldn't believe she'd touched his cock. He really couldn't believe her mouth had been on him. He hadn't had one adverse reaction. Not one. Not a twinge. She'd given up all control, trusted him completely, and they'd done it. He couldn't wait to try it again. Every fucking night. He swept his hand down her hair. All that glorious hair he loved to see spread on his pillow. That was coming next. He wanted it all with her. He knew he was being a little greedy, but he believed in her. In the two of them. They were a long way from fixing his issues, and he was certain they never fully would, but she had found a way to work on them, work around them. He loved that she wanted him to recognize her hands. He lifted one into the air and stared at it in the light streaking through the windows. His thumb slid over her palm, once, twice. Her hands were little in comparison to his, but they wielded such power over him, so much. He knew his body would recognize her touch, but he wasn't going to tell her that. A nightly massage, a blowjob, his cock buried deep in her. He was okay with all of that. For the first time, he had hope. He brought her hand to his mouth and brushed kisses over it. Hope was a fragile thing, and he was determined he'd keep it alive for both of them. He carefully slid away from her, tucking rolled blankets at her back, grateful for the little murmur of protest she gave. He knew it was going to be a while before he drifted off, and he paced for a long time, wishing he smoked. He'd never taken up the habit because he was a hunter. He often followed his prey by the scent of their cigarettes. It was even easier if his target smoked weed. He was still shaken at the idea that he'd nearly killed a woman. He knew the experience was too close to take the chance of lying next to the woman he loved and falling asleep close to her. He could have nightmares, and she would be at risk. He stared out the window, noting if they were going to continue to sleep in that room, they'd need heavy drapes. She was a bartender and up half the night. She'd need to sleep in. Anya had faith that they could overcome the problems they had. Now, with her new idea of getting him used to her touch, he was beginning to share that same faith. He paced some more and then stood by the bank of windows staring at the ocean. It was raging in the early morning hours, the wind kicking up white crests, the water dark, murky, very choppy, reflecting his own mood. He turned back to look at the woman sleeping on the floor. On the floor. Not the comfortable bed upstairs, the fucking floor, because her man couldn't stand sleeping with four walls so close. She'd just laughed and told him she didn't care where she was sleeping as long as she was with him. The hell of it was, he knew it was the truth. Anya would go with him anywhere. If he said he had to leave, to just ride, not knowing where he was going, she'd get on the back of his bike in a minute. She was beautiful, far more than he deserved. She deserved the world, and yet she was choosing him, knowing all his problems, Could he really be a husband and father like Czar? He'd scoffed at the idea because he'd known it was impossible, but now... He shook his head and sank down into the chair next to her so he could look down at her face. He'd once asked Czar how he thought he could be a father to the children they'd taken in. His reply made sense. He was good at protection. He could provide for them. He could help Blythe with discipline and talking to them, loving them. He would count on her for the bulk of knowing what to do in situations he didn't comprehend. Czar believed he learned fast and would know the next time the same thing came up, so he could be of even more help. It was really all about total commitment, being all in. Reaper leaned down and caught Anya's long braid in his hand. He had to make up his mind to cut her loose or keep her. If he cut her loose, he couldn't go after her later, and he knew he would. He wasn't strong enough to stay away from her. He needed her brightness. He needed to see himself the way she did. He could be that man because she believed he was that man. So, total commitment. He could do that. He felt he already had. If she was willing to find a way for them to be together even at night, if she was willing to risk that, he had to be right there with her. Even if that meant confessing to Czar. If she wanted children, he'd provide them and follow her lead on what to do with them. The club would help. Not that they knew anything more than he did, but they'd help. Reaper? The long lashes fluttered, and then he was looking into her eyes. His breath caught in his throat. She was drowsy, unable to mask her true feelings, and he could see the way she looked at him. He knew the love of his brothers and sisters. He knew the fierce loyalty they shared. Anya's love was soft, protective, sexual, comforting. It was all kinds of things, but mostly it was that look on her face, the one that told him he was her man and she didn't want any other. Go back to sleep, baby. You have to work tonight, and we've got things to do later. He didn't know what they were, but he wanted her asleep so he wouldn't get any ideas. Already his cock was acting like a monster, the way it did any time he was close to her. And he'd had her twice. She smiled and her lashes fell. She went back to sleep with that smile on her face. He watched. She went to sleep confident in him, confident in them, that they could find their way together. So he was going to be that as well, confident in them. He stretched out beside her. On the other side of the rolls of blankets. All weapons were across the room. He could get at them fast if need be, but there would be no accidental mistakes. The rolled blankets would ensure if he turned over, and she did as well, she wouldn't be touching him and playing into his nightmares. Reaper reached over the blankets and wrapped his arm around her. He knew he shouldn't, not until he had a handle on his bad dreams. But touching her soothed him. He slid his hand under her breasts, spreading his fingers wide to take in as much territory as possible. He wanted to feel her heart beating into his palm, but he kept his hand low, on her ribcage, just below her breasts, listening to her soft breathing. "Do anything for you, baby," he whispered. "Anything at all." He meant every word. Chapter 19. They came in just after midnight, seven members of the Diamondbacks. They didn't come in noisily. They were quiet, looking around, faces grim. They went to tables at the back of the room, directly across from the bar, looked at the occupants, who vacated immediately, and sank into the chairs. It was slow on Tuesdays, one waitress, one bartender. Preacher had gone to some big meeting Czar had called at the clubhouse. Reaper was there as well. Fateh was on as bouncer, but no way he could take on the Diamondbacks if they got ugly. She'd forgotten Absinthe, sitting just down the hall, watching the monitor. The club took the security of the women seriously. He came sauntering out,
reached around her to casually push the button that was hooked into the clubhouse. "Should have done that yourself, darling," he said softly and moved around her again to the hinged slab of bar that lifted. Anya watched as three more of the locals left their drinks right on the table and got up and left. She heard more Harleys, big ones, powerful. She lowered her lashes and settled her accelerating heart. She was a damn good bartender, fast, efficient. She could bullshit anyone. She glanced at Bettina, who nodded and followed Absinthe directly to the table. "Nice having you here," Absinthe greeted. He didn't smile because he wasn't a man who smiled much, but he did manage to sound welcoming. "Drinks are on the house. Just let Bettina know what we can do for you." "You can introduce me to the bartender," one said. Absinthe didn't so much as change expression. "Anya, she is gorgeous. She's Reaper's old lady." Bettina flashed her high-wattage smile at the group. "What can I get for you?" As she asked the question, seven more diamondbacks entered. Anya's heart sank. No way would that many come in just for fun without someone warning them. She didn't know much about club life, but when the diamondbacks were on the move, everyone knew about it. This run wasn't advertised. Absinthe and Bettina stepped back as the diamondbacks pushed tables closer to accommodate the new group. Absinthe and Bettina helped with the chairs. "Czar around?" one asked. His patch proclaimed him the Mendocino chapter president. Absinthe nodded. "He'll be here in a few minutes." Bettina came back with their orders, and Anya lost herself in fixing the drinks fast. She put them on trays, and Bettina swept them away. She served the men and returned, leaning across the bar, looking as if she was showing off what was under her short skirt, but mostly she wanted to be close to Anya. "If they start trouble, get out fast. Don't try to help." Bettina kept her voice low. "These guys play for keeps. And while I'm at it, I just want to warn you that Tawny's seriously pissed. Lana and Elena paid her a visit, and it didn't go well for Tawny. They apparently didn't like that she kept at Reaper when he'd told her no. She didn't look good when she left town. Before she left, she had a lot to say. And she's very vindictive. Just watch your back from here on out." Anya wasn't certain if Bettina had switched the conversation to really warn her, or if she'd done it because a couple of the diamondbacks hadn't sat down with the others and were wandering around, and the waitress didn't want to get caught talking about them. Anya nodded, just to show she was listening, but already she could hear the motorcycles arriving. She recognized the various bikes now. Reaper's was among them. Reaper and Savage entered through the front door, paused the way they always did, and scanned the room. Reaper noted that one of the two diamondbacks wandering the room was close to the bar, close to Anya. He flicked his gaze toward the middle of the bar, where the hallway would have her back, indicating he wanted her in that position. Anya patted Bettina's hand, gave her a small smile, and moved to the middle of the bar where Reaper wanted her to stay. Maestro came up behind her and took his position behind the bar. "Sorry I was late, Anya. Had a little trouble with a tub of ice cream." "You have such a sweet tooth," she fired back. He was lying his ass off. But if he could, so could she. The door opened, and Lana and Elena came in, walking together, looking good the way they always did. The two of them drew the eye. Man or woman couldn't help but look. Lana's dark hair curved at her chin, calling attention to that elegant detail. Her mouth was lush, her dark eyes framed with long black lashes, making her look exotic and mysterious. She had curves, and she knew it, showing them off with her tight jeans and tighter tank. Her clothes screamed biker babe, and her looks screamed sheer elegance. Elena's platinum hair was thick and wild, falling down her back and around her face in untamed waves. Her ice-blue eyes were striking. She was average height, but there was nothing average about the way she wore her clothes. Like Lana, she wore jeans that hugged her butt lovingly, and her breasts threatened to spill from the red bra that seemed part of the black tank. Anya had no idea how they did it,
but the two women commanded the room. The air went electric, and they had the attention of everyone. Neither looked around. They came straight to the bar, smiling at her.
"Hey, girl. Missed you," Elena said. "You doing all right?"
She slid her butt onto one of the stools and put her elbows on the bar, leading into Anya's space. Anya felt the butterflies settle in her stomach. Elena and Lana always exuded such confidence in themselves, in the club. Whatever was happening, they would help take care of things. She was determined to learn, so she could be more of an asset in any situation.
"Great, Elena. I'm doing great. Things are good," Anya said. "You want a drink?"
Elena nodded.
"Make me something. I'm in such a mood tonight."
Lana slipped onto the stool beside Elena, making a show of settling herself, shifting from hip to hip, mesmerizing the men in the room who had eyes on her butt.
"She is, Anya. Fix her something refreshing."
"And strong," Elena added, stroking a red-tipped finger along the bar as if it was skin and she was caressing it. Anya glanced up just to catch a glimpse of Reaper. She blinked. He wasn't there. Neither was Savage. They had faded into the darker corners of the bar, places the light didn't quite reach. No one had noticed, especially the 14 Diamondbacks sitting together at the table, eyes on the women at the bar.
"I'll make you a mojito, a strong one. The mint will refresh you, Elena. Who upset you?"
She reached for a bottle.
"Do your thing,"
Lana encouraged.
"You promised you'd show us."
Anya knew they'd never ask her if they didn't want her providing a distraction. Elena and Lana had gotten Reaper and Savage in position. She knew Preacher would be up on the roof outside, waiting to cover the Torpedo Inc. members if they needed to retreat. She was slowly learning how they did things. Anya flashed a quick grin, caught up a napkin, her thumb on the crease facing away from her, spun it like a frisbee, caught it on the back of her hand, turned her hand over and dropped the napkin in front of Elena with a flourish. Elena laughed.
"Nice."
"Easy," Anya said, and reached for the bottle of vodka. She did the move she liked, one she'd practiced an insane amount of time. It was merely a stall, the bottle coming to rest on the back of her hand, staying there a moment, and then she did a slight toss, caught it, and in one motion pushed it toward Elena, tipped it to pour into the glass before it could spill. The stall was one of her favorite moves. It was small, didn't slow her down, but effective.
"Awesome," Lana said.
"Feel better already,"
Elena agreed. Ice and Storm came up behind Anya from the hallway. Evidently, they'd come in the back way. Czar walked right behind them. Behind Czar were Master and Player. They were moving from behind the bar into the main room before anyone had noticed. Anya hadn't heard them come up behind her. Czar smiled and walked right up to the table of Diamondbacks.
"Nice to see you again, Plank."
He addressed the man with the patch on his jacket, proclaiming him president. "Absinthe said you're looking for me." Absinthe hadn't left the bar. He hadn't spoken to anyone. Anya glanced at the camera over the bar. There were dozens of them, most hidden from view, but every angle of the bar was seen in the monitors. There had to be audio as well. She made a note to be aware of that in the future when she was talking to customers. Many of them told her all kinds of personal things.
"Need to talk," Plank said.
He nodded to the second table of Diamondbacks. They immediately stood.
"Clear the room."
"Bettina, you're off,"
Ice said.
"Bannister, call it an evening."
The older man at the bar glanced at Anya.
"You going home?"
"I can escort you."
"She stays," Plank said.
The moment the president of the Diamondbacks decreed one of the Torpedo Inc. women had to stay, the tension in the room went up several notches until it was stretched out to a screaming point. Bannister didn't seem to be affected. He slid off his stool without looking at the Diamondbacks.
"Be outside if you need me,"
he said to no one in particular and sauntered out. Ice followed him and locked the door. He turned and leaned against it. Storm took the opposite side of the room.
Czar slipped into a chair one of the Diamondbacks had vacated. Master and Keys sat on either side of him. Lana reached across the bar to Anya. "This goes bad? Hit the floor," she said softly. "Don't look if you can help it." Anya wasn't about to argue. She didn't like the fact that Plank had insisted she stay. None of the Torpedo Inc. members liked it any better. She'd heard more bikes minutes earlier. She knew the members of Torpedo Inc. in the bar weren't the only ones around. The others were just out of sight, waiting. Waiting for everything to go bad. "You sent us word that a group of men had gotten together and formed some kind of club calling themselves the Ghosts," Plank stated. "What do you know about them?" Czar nodded. "Code, our resident hacker, came across them. They were extorting money from another club that had asked us for help. When Code looked into the Ghosts, it was made up of several corporate men, very wealthy, with ties to gambling in both Vegas and Reno. They play for keeps, Plank. They have no problem slicing up women and children if their demands aren't met. We saw that firsthand." "Mafia?" "Ties to it, for sure. I think a couple of sons of owners in Reno started with an idea to target MCs, because they figured we couldn't go to anyone for help. They start small, use computers to find members with gambling problems. Target them first, get them hooked, in deep, needing to pay off a large debt, and they flip them." Plank stirred, looked around the table at his men. "You're saying someone in my club fed them information on us?" Czar nodded. "The Ghosts don't give a damn about the gambling debt. They want information on the club's activities. If you're running drugs through a pipeline, they want a cut. They want to use the pipeline to move their money around. They need to know what you're doing and how you do it, what kind of money they can get. Once they have that information, they go after the club president's wife. That's why we gave you the heads up. Your wife was on their list. We sent the proof, the pictures they had of her taking her yoga class, running up by the dam, picking up your kids from school. She was a definite target." "Do you know who the mole is?" Czar shook his head. "I don't. Code might be able to find out for you. He's good at what he does." "I had her guarded night and day, locked her away. She was pissed, too. Sent the kids to her mother's, just to be safe. Had my men guarding them. They still got my wife. Knew right where she was. Killed two of my men." Plank glanced at Anya. "Took her right out from under us. My wife." Czar's fingers tapped on the table restlessly. "I'm sorry, man. These fuckers don't play around, Plank. You have to get her back or pay their price, whatever it is." Lana stood up casually and walked around the bar. Instantly there was a stir, the seven Diamondbacks moving to cut her off. She gave them a small smirk. "Bathroom. Come with me if you want, boys." She kept walking to the door marked Women and disappeared inside. Elena leaned across the bar to Anya. "Checking on Blythe," she mouthed. Anya's nod was barely perceptible. She realized that Plank was vaguely threatening her by insisting she stay. She knew the members of Torpedo Inc. had gone on alert, but she hadn't realized she was the cause, that they were really threatening her. She had been identified as Reapers. Uneasy now, she began taking care of all the empties behind the bar. Plank's enforcer, Jiff, had been identified by the patches on his jacket. He was a big man, big to be intimidating. Reaper watched him move around the room, a deliberate act to show the members of Torpedo Inc. that he was watching them. He never spotted Reaper or Savage. He hadn't even noticed they'd disappeared. The real threat came in the form of a slender man, one not noticeable. He was quiet, leaning against the wall, arms folded across his chest, almost as still as Reaper was being. That man had noticed they'd lost eyes on two of the Torpedo Inc. members, and he continually scanned the room, searching for them. His patch declared he was a road captain named Pierce. Reaper knew that was bullshit. Or if he was, He was also Plank's greatest protector. He had draped himself against the wall behind Plank, in a position to cover him, take him to the floor if necessary. He was a man few would notice. Most wouldn't even mark him as a threat. There were 14 Diamondbacks in their space, 3 prospects outside, another 2 actual Patch members pacing the parking lot. Preacher would take out the 2 Patch members and all 3 prospects if it came to that. He'd kill at least 3 outright before anyone realized the threat to them. The 4th would go down trying to return fire. The 5th might be a problem. He'd marked the road captain, enforcer, and Diamondback nearest the president, the one on his right, in that order. Savage would take 3 more at the table. Czar would kill the president before he went to the floor. Ice and Storm would each take out 2. Lana and Elena had indicated their targets. Master and Keys would take out the rest. The moment Plank had not so subtly threatened Anya, Reaper considered him a dead man. Even if he didn't kill him tonight, he would pay the man a visit. "Your man Code, can he find where they're keeping her?" Plank persisted. "Maybe. When we went after the wife of the president of the demons, we took out their sanctuary. I didn't think they could regroup that quickly." Czar didn't point out that they'd offered to help protect his wife and track down the threat to her. Plank had been close to rude, stating they could handle their own shit. "She's not here, is she?" Plank came right out and asked. Czar sat back in his chair. "Seriously? That's fucking messed up. We bring you the word that you're going to take a hit, offer to help, without asking for anything back, just out of respect, and you accuse us of taking her? Not accusing you, just asking you. She's been gone 8 hours. Tried to find the son of a bitch that helped them, but have no clue." Czar lifted his hand, and Absinthe, who had returned to his position behind the bar in order to help Maestro protect Anya, went down the hall to get Code. Reaper had no idea if Code could figure out where they'd taken Plank's woman, but no matter what, he knew the club was in trouble. The Diamondbacks had chapters all over the world. They were a big club, had no problem using violence to get what they wanted, and they had long memories. Torpedo Inc. had made certain to show their respect, so they wouldn't have problems with the club. "You meet Reaper?" Czar asked, holding Plank's gaze. Plank shook his head. "No." He sounded annoyed. "I think it's necessary that you do." Plank shrugged. "Bring it." Reaper moved then, coming out of the shadows as if a part of the dark wall had come to life. His face was scarred, blank of all expression. His eyes were dead, not just ice, but flat and glacier cold. He turned those eyes on Plank and let him see that his days were numbered and Reaper would cut his fucking heart out for threatening his woman. "Reaper, Plank, president of the chapter in Mendocino," Czar said. "Reaper's our enforcer, one of 2. His brother is around here somewhere." The big man, the one wandering around, came at Reaper, stood close, too stupid to know Reaper would kill him in seconds. The man made it easy and seemed to be asking for it. "Reaper." Czar kept his voice low. Reaper didn't move, didn't look away. These men had threatened Anya. Savage would be tracking the other one now, Pierce, the road captain who was no longer lounging so casually against the wall. Lana emerged from the bathroom right into the middle of the men waiting outside for her. Plank studied Reaper's grim features and then leaned back in his chair, his eyes on Czar. "You son of a bitch." There was respect in his voice. "You really don't have her." "No. We gave you the information and offered to help," Czar reiterated. Reaper was very aware the president of the Diamondbacks was president for a reason. He was intelligent, just like Czar. He could read men and situations. Plank waved the enforcer away. "Stand down, Jif." Jif continued to glare at Reaper. Plank sighed. "Are you crazy? Reaper, we're not a threat to your old lady. I don't wage war on women. Jif,
I told you to move on.
The man poured steel into his voice. Reaper barely nodded. He stepped past Jif, as if the man was beneath his notice. He was making an